Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 19th day of March, not March, May 2020. It's May. It's a Tuesday, right? Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. Days are starting to matter again. Months are starting to matter again. In another couple of weeks, they might matter for everybody. So I've got to get this back together. Man, I'm going to have to put on pants with a zipper again. That'll be weird. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Action-packed as ever and always, lots of things to get to, including the bailout issue. That really is the issue, isn't it? To bail out or not to bail out. We have the governor of California talking to Jake Tapper about the need to bail out the state of California. And needless to say, I have some questions, just some basic questions for Gavin Newsom and other blue state governors. In the on the matter of the order in which they choose to sacrifice people, it's very, very weird how they choose to sacrifice people when it comes to budget cuts. Whether or not they ever happen is another thing. But holding out somebody as a human sacrifice, there are some issues with the way that they do it. So we will get into that and a whole bunch of other things. But first, let's talk about the great, great sponsor. I'm holding the bottle of it right here, ancientlifeoil.com, the CBD oil from ancientlifeoil.com. I get your emails. A couple of you emailed me just yesterday about how you signed up. You're giving it a shot. You're going with Ancient Life Oil, the 100% organic, pure CBD oil. It's not going to get you high, but it will make you feel better. It helps with the aches and pains and anxieties and all that stuff. You just go to ancientlifeoil.com. You see they have a bunch of products. And if you don't go, if you go, I don't want to put that stuff, I don't want to drink the oil or put the oil under my tongue, Derek, what do? They have topicals too. They have topicals. Say your shoulder hurts and you're sick of smelling like Bengay or whatever you've been putting on there. You can get the cream and give that a shot. But whatever you do, you go to ancientlifeoil.com, you enter promo code Derek, my name, D-E-R-E-K, into checkout, and you get free shipping on top of great prices. They've been with us for a very long time. Very grateful to them. They're with us because they work, and they're with us this long because you guys have discovered that they work. So it doesn't matter whether this is your first order or your next order. You go back, you enter promo code Derek. Free shipping for you right there off the bat. AncientLifeOil.com. Okay, let's talk about Governor Hairdo. He really does have the best hair in politics, mostly because, by default, most politicians' hair is really just awful. But Gavin Newsom of the state of California, normally that's where somebody says the great state of California, but you can't really call California a great state anymore. They simply aren't. It's a good state. It's a beautiful state. There's some really good people who live out there, but they are the petri dish of progressivism. I tell you, as a kid, I was promised the whole thing was going to fall to the ocean. The big one was going to come along, and they were going to fall into the ocean. And so I bet a lot of people bought property in, like, Arizona, ready for that to become beachfront thing. But nope, we were lied to. And it's still with us. And simultaneously, California is an incredibly arrogant state. and an incredibly insecure state, financially insecure state. They love to talk about how we're the fifth biggest economy in the world, man. If we were our own country, we'd be the fifth biggest economy in the world. And then the coronavirus hits and suddenly we've got $50 billion shortfall in our budget, all because of coronavirus. And you sit there and you think, wait a second, how were you guys so wonderfully successful bitching about how you're paying too much in taxes relative to what you're getting back from the federal government? But now you are, after 2 months of not really being hit all that hard by coronavirus, by the way, you are destitute and ready to collapse. Here's an idea, and here's a question, one of the questions I have as we get ready to listen to some Gavin Newsom. Their annual budget out in California is about $160 billion. $160 billion. They are claiming that after just over 2 months of lockdown, shutdowns, whatever you want to call it, going on out in the country, just after 2 months, their budget shortfall is a third of their annual budget. Now, how does that make sense? How does that happen? How do you go from that? I mean, the fiscal year ends on September 30th. Okay, so we are more than halfway through the fiscal year. How do you lose a third of your budget? How do you come up that short after, you know, what, 10 weeks? Maybe I'm being generous, but 10 weeks. How does that happen? Unless there are serious underlying irresponsible actions by the politicians of the state that they are now trying to take advantage of. I'm alluding to, of course, their massive budgetary shortfall when it comes to state pensions. And that's really where the devil lies in all the details. All these blue states have overpromised and then spent on their pensions. Now, they're still on the hook for the overpromising. But they, much like the federal government with Social Security and our trust fund and Al Gore's lockbox, they spent the money. There's an IOU there. In many cases with these pensions, as more and more people retire and fewer people, there are, you know, the retiree to worker ratio in the state of California is growing and growing, and the more people who are on the government dole when it comes to their pensions, that's a bit of a problem when you've got, you know, I don't know how many people work in government in California. Let's just use round numbers, 100,000 people in California working for the government. It's probably actually more. They've got 40 million people. But we'll just say 100,000 working, and you've got 250,000 people retired because they punched their 20-year or 30-year thing. Start working in government when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, even 22 years old. You can get in your time pretty quickly, and you can retire fairly young, maybe even take a second job to put some money away while collecting your pension. So you have more people retired than working. If you're paying people out of, just like Social Security, out of current workers' pockets into the retirees' pockets, and you end up with a ratio that's that out of whack, well, there are really only a couple of options. You cut the pension size because you simply can't afford it, which is political suicide, or you raise the money you're putting into the pension from workers, which is going to be also suicide. Democrats are beholden to those union members who get those pensions. They're not likely going to appreciate that very much. Or you play accounting gimmicks and hope to God you can find a way to come up with the money, even going so far as taking advantage of a pandemic to claim you need government help, a government bailout. That seems to be what's happening with California. Oh, they don't want to admit that. They try to claim that we've been paying it. And what you're about to hear Gavin Newsom say is interesting math. Let's just put it, interesting math. But it's indicative because it's not just California. I'm using California because it's the most dramatic example. But what is happening in California is being replicated in New York. It's being replicated in Illinois. It's weirdly being replicated in almost every single blue state across the country that's banding together going, we need bailouts. We need, well, they don't call it bailouts. They call it federal government assistance. They want the government to take out their credit cards, the federal government to take out their credit cards, because they can't. The federal government can go into debt. The states cannot. Now, the states can float bonds and things like that. There are ways they could come up with this money, but in the midst of a crisis, as Democrats say, you never want it to go to waste. And so they are clamoring to get a nipple in Uncle Sam's teat while the getting's good and while people have some sympathy for these states that have been horribly run. So let's listen to Gavin Newsom talk to Jake Tapper. And I'll inject myself throughout it and point out where the weird math comes into play.
So the position of the White House seems to be that any money for states would be premature. What's your response, sir?
Well, it's not charity. I mean, a year ago, Jake, we were running a $21.5 billion surplus. And here we are at $54.3 billion budget deficit that is directly COVID-induced.
Okay, let's stop it right there for a second. We were running a $21.3 billion surplus last year. Now we're running a $54.3 billion deficit. Now that's a hell of a swing. That's a hell of a swing. So they're asking for $54.3 billion right now, a third of their budget. Budget's about $160 billion. They want $54.3 billion. That's a $75.6 billion swing in 1 year. Now, if you're running a $21.3 billion surplus just last year, might I ask where that money went? Shouldn't somebody ask where the hell that money went? Shouldn't Jake Tapper say, wait a second, you're talking about $21.3 billion extra pocket change that you've got. California did not cut taxes. California did not refund that money. If they're running a $21.3 billion surplus last year, I assume giving him the benefit of the doubt, I'm assuming he means last fiscal year, you really have to wonder, where in the hell did that money go? Where is it? What happened to it? Gavin? Of course, that question wasn't asked. Gavin Newsom, you ever notice Democrats are never interrupted on these shows? When somebody says something, I mean, I'm just a guy sitting in a basement. I'm just a guy with a podcast, okay? That occurs to me, because it's not that they're $54 billion, poof, gone. Suddenly, somehow, essentially, over the course of 12 months, less than 12 months, the fiscal year would have started, well, the fiscal year for 2019 would have ended in, well, I guess it would have been 2018, since we're in fiscal year 2019 right now, would have ended on September 30th, 2019. The fiscal calendar is different than the regular calendar. So we're looking at 6-7 months, and somehow you went from $21.3 billion in the good to $54.3 billion in the bad. That's, you know, $75.6 billion gone. What the hell happened? Nobody's asking. I don't know the answer, but that sure as hell sounds like a question that should be asked if you're going to somebody with your hat in your hand, although he insists later on that it is not charity, that it is important and they deserve the money. But if you're coming to ask somebody, if I'm sitting around with a friend and he just won't shut up about how he's got $50,000. Oh, I got $50,000. It's great. I got $50,000 in the bank. And then they come to me a year later and say, look, not that I have this money, but look, I need $100,000 right now or I'm going to lose my house. It's over, $100,000. You need $100,000, so what's your bill? Like, no, the tax man, they say that I owe him $100,000. Can you float me $100,000? And I'd be like, even if I could, I'd kind of go, wait a second, I remember distinctly last year you just getting up in everybody's grill about this $50,000 you had floating around and how great it was to have $50,000 in the bank. What happened to that money? If you need $100,000 now, you know, it seems like you shouldn't need the whole thing from me. Seems like you should be able to pony up $50,000 unless you went on a coke bender that I'm unaware of or something. You know, you're driving a brand new Ferrari or something like that. Sooner or later, somebody's got to go, wait a second, this does not compute. Shouldn't you be asking for $30 billion since you had this $21 billion laying around? Shouldn't you be asking for $50,000 if you had this $50,000 in your savings account? But of course, that $21.3 billion was likely a gimmick, an accounting scam that would get you thrown in jail, by the way, if you tried to run your private business that way. But the way that government runs its books, it's allowed to do that sort of thing. Again, something that a real journalist would have at least contemplated broaching the subject-wise with the governor of California. But then again, we're dealing with Jake Tapper. It's CNN. You're not going to get real journalism, especially when there's a Democrat sitting there. But I just wanted to stop the tape there because I found that rather curious. You're saying last year we was in the money, man. We was rich. We were going to strip clubs every night. We were making it rain. And now we're broke and we need your money. I'd kind of go, maybe you shouldn't have went to see them titties. Just saying. Or maybe you just go see titties a little bit. You don't have to go every day. But we'll never know, because the odds of Gavin Newsom being interviewed by any journalist who would dare ask a question similar to what I'm posing there are slim to none. And Slim just left town. So let's get back to Gavin Newsom.
We have been managing our budget effectively, efficiently, paying down our long-term pension obligations. We had a bond rating that went up twice last year, the highest in decades. So we're not looking for charity. We're not looking for handouts. It's social responsibility at a time when states, not just California, large and small, all across this country, cities and counties, large and small, all across this country, are facing unprecedented budgetary stress. It is incumbent upon the federal government to help support these states through this difficult time.
Okay, so then why is it that other states aren't being hammered as badly as California? Again, I'm just asking questions. Why is it that Florida and Texas aren't facing a massive budgetary crush? Those are two very populous states, yet they aren't anywhere in the same boat as California. And California, in many ways, has had it easier than those states when it comes to coronavirus. Not saying anybody had it particularly easy and it's just been a walk in the park for anybody, but it is rather curious that the other two large states, New York being the exception, they've been hammered and they're desperate for money, but the other states not having the same type of problem. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas tweeted out an interesting little graphic yesterday that I just happened to have on my computer screen right in front of me. It lists California, Texas, Florida, and New York in that order. And it is entitled Four Most Populous States by the Numbers. Population in California, 40 million. Texas, 29.5 million. Florida, 22 million. New York, 19.5 million. Then it comes to state income tax. California, with its 40 million people, its state income tax, 13%. That seems pretty high to me, but that should mean that they're swimming in money left and right, right? They could go to them titty bars and make it rain and not even notice it if they're getting 13% of 40 million people's income. Then you go over to Texas, with its 29.5 million residents and their state income tax, well, surely that has to be a misprint, it's 0%. What? Impossible, you say. No. 0% income tax in the state of Texas. Also, over in Florida, 0% income tax. New York, 8% income tax. Still pretty high. And you add in New York City, where they jack on another, was it 4 or 5% or whatever it is, and you get right into California's range. But then California has city taxes as well, so don't worry, they're the tax capital of the world, of the country anyway. But 8%, now how is it? Because the two states in the middle, Texas and Florida, with no state income tax, their budget remains balanced. Yet California, with $54 billion deficit this time, has a 13% income tax. New York says it needs $6.1 billion, at least for now, and that doesn't include New York City, I don't think. And they have an 8% income tax. Now, let's look at the numbers then, because that must mean with $54 billion running up in a budget deficit and $6.1 billion rolled up in a budget deficit in New York, those states must have been hammered relative to Texas and Florida. Well, in the case of New York, yes, New York has absolutely been hammered by coronavirus. They've had more than 330,000 cases and more than 28,000 deaths. Horrible, tragic, awful. But that's the least populous state in these top four states. That's kind of weird, seems. But hey, let's take a look at the other ones and see what they come up with. Now, California, with its 40 million citizens, total number of cases, 69,000 and change. 69,000 and change. That's weird because it's more than double the population of New York. But it has less than what? A quarter of the cases? How is that possible that they managed to ring up a deficit of one third of their budget, $54 billion, unless there is, I don't know, something else going on, like massive unfunded pension liabilities, just spitballing. Again, New York, $6.1 billion debt in California, $54 billion. The number of cases, 330,000 in New York, 69,000 in California. Now, if it was directly related to coronavirus, as Governor Gavin Newsom says, would not you expect, if California gets to $54 billion with twice as many people and one-fifth the number of cases, then shouldn't New York's debt be just exponentially larger than it is? Shouldn't it? Why isn't it? Well, maybe New York didn't decide. Maybe New York pulled the trigger a little bit prematurely. They said, oh, crap, let's pretend that we're looking at actual numbers, or let's not try to get too greedy. And California said, hell, let's go for it all. Why not? They're throwing money around. They're printing it up in Washington, D.C. But then let's compare it to Florida and Texas, which, again, their balance, their budgets remained balanced. California has, Texas has two-thirds the population of California, right? That's right. Yeah, three-quarters the population of California, about 29.5 million, so we'll just call that 30 million to 40 million out in California. The number of cases, 70,000 or 69,000, Texas is 41,000. That seems roughly in line, I guess. It's a little higher in California, but maybe we'll forgive it. There's more international travel to Asia in California than Texas, I imagine. And so that can be looked at that way. The number of deaths, 2,800 in California, 1,100 in Texas. Again, it's just weird, but still not overwhelming. Neither one of these health systems were overwhelmed or came close to being overwhelmed. New York's a different story. They've had 27,000, 28,000 deaths. So Okay. Florida's the same sort of thing. 42,000 cases, more deaths at 1,800, but still a mortality rate in Florida of 0.0038%, in Texas of 0.0038%, whereas a mortality rate, and this is just the number of cases versus the number of deaths, a mortality rate in Florida, 0.0081%, whereas in California, the mortality rate is 0.0071%. Now, wait a second. The mortality rate is actually 0.1 full point, 1/10 higher in Florida than it is in California. So again, their budget remains balanced, yet California is $54 billion in the red. Then you go to New York, where their mortality rate is 0.1399%, significantly higher than any of these states. More, you know, you're looking at in California 0.0071 to New York's 0.1399. That's an exponential jump right there. So again, you have to look at it and say, even though California is twice as large population-wise as the state of New York, New York's budget deficit, again, that number just sits there, $6.1 billion relative to $54 billion out in California. It's almost as if none of these numbers add up. And I realize that on audio and the radio and on podcast, a bunch of numbers throwing around a bunch of numbers doesn't make a lot of sense all the time. But I think I'm painting a pretty decent picture here in that there must be something else going on in the state of California. It can't just be that they were devastated with 70,000 cases of COVID-19 with a mortality rate of 0.0071%. It can't be. In a nation of 40 million people, an income tax rate of 13%, 70,000 cases and less than 3,000 deaths does not add up to $54 billion. Jake Tapper, if I can do this math while looking at a blurry, pixelated chart tweeted by the governor of Texas, one would think you, with a team of producers and executive producers and associate producers and God knows a whole bunch of other people who want to be interns and whatever, you'd think you'd be able to make these connections as well and ask a little bit tougher questions or interrupt when you hear things that don't make sense. Pretend it's a Republican, Jake. Of course, it's too late for this. I'm just spitballing here. Who am I? I'm just a dumb guy in a basement. Again, asking questions. So let's get back to Governor Herdu and see what else he has to say.
Well, the House passed a bill on Friday night with money for states, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has suggested it's dead on arrival. Can you explain what you think will happen to California if the federal government doesn't give you money to help you out?
Well, the same folks that say it's dead on arrival, I hope they'll consider this. The next time they want to salute and celebrate our heroes, our first responders, our police officers and firefighters, consider the fact that they are the first ones to be laid off by cities and counties. The folks that are out there, the true heroes of this pandemic, are healthcare workers and nurses. Those county health systems have been ravaged. Their budgets have been devastated and depleted. The budget counts depleted since this pandemic. They're the first ones to be laid off. So we've got to square our rhetoric with the reality.
And right there's the money shot, ladies and gentlemen. From Governor Herdu. Well, what happens if you don't get the bailout money? What happens if the U.S. taxpayers don't go another $54 billion in debt just for the state of California after I think I've demonstrated they had to have been wildly mismanaged? They had to have been wildly mismanaged. What happens? Well, then we set a bunch of police officers and firefighters on fire, obviously, and we drive them out to Arizona and throw them into the Grand Canyon, Jake. There's no other way to do it. There's just nothing else we can do. And then we start grabbing nurses and doctors and start chucking them into the San Andreas Fault, Jake. I don't know what else to tell you. That is the first refuge of Democratic politicians. Have you noticed that? Every single time there's a budgetary shortfall, there is pearl clutching over, oh my goodness, we're going to have to lay off firefighters and police officers and teachers. I'm surprised he didn't throw teachers in there. Teachers. And we also have to fire a bunch of nurses and make everybody less safe. They scare the hell out of everybody. It's never, you know, if we don't get this money, we're really going to have to take a serious look at a couple of unnecessary layers of mid-level bureaucrats and maybe tell them that they're going to have to find themselves a new line of work. It's never, you know, the deputy undersecretary of writing unnecessary regulations is really going to have to cut down on their staff from 75 people to 74 people. And it's just a devastating impact on the state here, Jake. And it's a choice that we don't want to make. And I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. It's never that. It is always the police and firefighters. Now, they... And you hear it there in the it kind of Gavin Newsom can't really hide his contempt that much for police officers when he says, well, next time somebody wants to salute our first responders, there are going to be less of them because we'll have killed them all. The left holds these people in contempt. They find them useful insofar as they can use them as bargaining chips. And that is it. The state of California is doling out $500 to illegal aliens, up to $1,000 per family of illegal aliens. Right now, there are millions of illegal aliens in the state of California. How much is that setting you back? Sure, no, it's not going to plug the $54.3 billion budget deficit you claim to have now, Governor. But just because the ship is sinking, does that mean you should go and knock some more holes into it? No. The reason that he's going knocking more holes in it, and the reason he can sit back confidently and give out millions of, I think it's like $100 million in aid that they're giving out to illegal aliens. It's a joint state and charitable contribution fund. Well, if you've got a bunch of liberal millionaires and billionaires willing to contribute to this to help out the people doing jobs that Americans just won't do, then why wouldn't you just use the money that people are donating? Why do you have to use taxpayer money if your state is $54.3 billion in the hole? Seems to me that maybe you go to your billionaire friends up in Silicon Valley who are contributing to this and you say, hey, look, I know we were going to do this together, but now that we've really looked at the books and we are, you know, a third of our budget is gone. I mean, actually, it's a 50% chunk out of our budget over the last two fiscal years, if you count the alleged $21 billion surplus I said we had last year. We simply can't afford to hold up our end. So since you're willing to give the money, because I don't think liberal billionaires, yeah, maybe liberal billionaires do go, I tell you what, I'll donate to your cause, but only if you blow a hole in your budget deficit and contribute as well. I'll match you dollar for dollar until you go bankrupt. Maybe they do. Who knows? They're weird people. But I think if these people genuinely care, which is the trick question, if they genuinely care, they should go, all right, I understand. You're going belly up. I don't want that. I'm a resident of this state or whatever. It don't even have to be a resident of the state. I'm sure they'd take anybody's money. We'll just do our part. And in fact, we'll step up even more. But instead, that money's going ahead, that money's rolling on, and they're driving over to the federal government to try and get a slice of the pie to help make up for the hole that they are blowing into. And it's not all for illegal aliens. A very small percentage of it is for illegal aliens. But I tell you what, when I was a smoker and I was a broke smoker, and, you know, broke smokers out there know what I'm talking about, you find creative ways to buy your pack of cigarettes. And if that means that for dinner it's a can of tuna or gas, you just say, give me a pack of cigarettes, a pack of whatever brand you smoke, and the rest on pump 7 at the gas station, and it's like $4.12 on pump 7. You find a way to make it happen if it's a priority. And government doesn't have to do that. Government doesn't have to prioritize anything. That's the real problem with government. Government just says, all right, well, we'll find another way to get the money. We'll do creative accounting. We'll get the government, the federal government, to bail us out. We'll find some way to get the money. Just go ahead and spend it. They don't look at it as, man, I'd really like to help these people, but I can't. We cannot. We have to be fiscally responsible now more than ever. And oh, by the way, all those jobs that Americans won't do, that we need the sweet, 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 nourishing illegal alien to do, that was at a different time, before we had 20% unemployment. I suspect that while not every job would certainly be filled, because we've incentivized Americans not to work with a $600 a week bonus in your unemployment check, there would still be some with some dignity and a work ethic who would take some of those jobs. So essentially what California is doing with this measure, this partnership with a whole bunch of wealthy liberals, is subsidizing the literal taking of jobs from Americans. And, well, they've always kind of done that, but they're making it worse. They're making it significantly worse, with no qualms whatsoever. Governor Newsom isn't interested in getting to the bottom of it and finding a way that maybe we can get Americans to do these jobs. The importance and the dignity of work. You don't really hear Democrats talking about the dignity of work unless they're talking about it as a punchline or some sort of applause line about how those evil, nasty Republicans talk about the dignity of work. They don't understand what it's like to work, says the politician who hasn't broken a sweat out of anything but nerves since they were in high school. And it's not just California, by the way. There's more Gavin Newsom. I don't know. I might return to it. But there is more that these politicians are engaged in across the country, because they're all forming a conga line from California to Maine, coming to Washington, D.C., or actually sending their lobbyists to come and get a slice of the pie. They want a piece of the action. They want a government bailout. They wanted it before. Now that Nancy Pelosi has put $1 trillion in the $3 trillion coronavirus cares, three heroes act, whatever the hell it is, number four, they recognize that they have to help lobby. And what Governor Newsom is doing there is lobbying. He's just lobbying on CNN. He wants the politicians here in Washington, D.C. to see that and go, oh my goodness, poor California, whatever shall they do? We must do something to help them. We can't have them going bankrupt. We can't have them ritualistically sacrificing first responders and medical personnel at a time when we need them most. They are our heroes. It's a scam, but you'd be surprised how dumb so many elected officials are. Speaking of dumb, another West Coast liberal. I think this whole show is going to be about just how worthless and scammy and stupid Democratic governors are, because I think they deserve to be highlighted. They certainly aren't being highlighted by the mainstream media. Hell, Andrew Cuomo sent seniors to their deaths in nursing homes, and he's a freaking hero. He's a hero. A hero. So you think that these other lesser governors who are not billed by the media as the anti-Donald Trump have a chance in hell of being exposed for the frauds that they are? The Linwood Times from Linwood, Washington. Remember Jay Inslee? The name sound vaguely familiar. He ran for president for about 15 minutes. He didn't even make it famous for 15 minutes. He just ran for 15 minutes. Terrible candidate. wildly uninspiring, never made a dent in anything. I think he got a pity invite to one debate, and they said, well, that was a mistake, and they never got him back up on stage. Well, he has a plan for contact tracing for the state. That is following everybody who is sick and or could be sick, who was ever in contact with anybody else, and so on and so forth. It's, think of it as 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon by your nosy neighbor who happens to work for the government and is hell-bent on screwing with your life. Well, in this story in the Linwood Times, it makes it brings up an interesting point about what Jay Inslee is trying to do. Again, the natural default position for all government is totalitarian, but for liberal progressive government, it gets there a hell of a lot faster. Government grows, and progressivism, government grows naturally, and progressivism is just a natural fertilizer because they're all so full of shit, if you'll forgive my French. So in this piece, talking about enforcement for the governor's plan to reopen the state with contact tracing, they write, for those businesses and individuals that don't comply with the governor, the governor stated that he confirmed with Attorney General Bob Ferguson that there will be sanctions in civil and criminal court. So if you don't comply, now his plan is anybody who's sick has to stay in their home for 14 days at a minimum, in their home for 14 days. And if you don't comply or you refuse to take a test, see, because if you, through contact tracing, if somebody you know got sick and they had seen you like a week before, and well, we got to track down everybody this person ever had contact with since they might have gotten it. Whether you're exhibiting symptoms or not, whether you are sick or not, you have to take a test. And if you don't take a test, you're assumed to be infected and you are ordered to stay. And depending on how close the contact is, you could be ordered to stay quarantined for up to 14 days because your civil rights don't really matter anymore. Now, you should stay, you know, away from people. You should take every precaution just in case you're sick. But that's wildly different than the state government saying, do it or we're going to arrest you. We're going to throw you in prison because that's what you're facing, up to a $2,500 fine in the state of Washington and or a year in prison. So in his press conference, a reporter asked Governor Inslee, quote, when it comes to contact tracing, how are you going to handle people or families who want to refuse to test or to self-isolate? If they want to leave their home to get groceries, I know you've said you can't do that. How will you make sure they don't? Question mark, end quote. Here comes Big Brother Jay Inslee. He responded, quote, we will have attached to the family a family support person who will check in with them to see what they need on a daily basis and to help them. If they can't get a friend to do their grocery shopping, we will help them get groceries in some fashion. If they need pharmaceuticals to be picked up, we will make sure they get their pharmaceuticals. That's going to help encourage them to maintain their isolation too. Okay, so far it seems, well, they're just trying to help, just offering some help there. Well, he continues, as far as refusal, it just shouldn't come to that. And it really hasn't. We've had really good success when we ask people to isolate, and they've done so in really high percentages. So we're happy about that, and we believe that we'll continue. But if you do not, what if you want to go to the grocery? What if it's in the middle of the night and you got a hankering for something? You will be punished. The Linwood Times concludes, therefore, those individuals that refuse to cooperate with contact tracers and or refuse testing, those individuals will not be allowed to leave their home to purchase basic necessities such as groceries or prescriptions. Those persons will need to make arrangements through friends, family, or state-provided family support personnel. George Orwell is at the door. Then we go over to Illinois, where Governor J.B. Pritzker, remember him from the other week when he was asked why his billionaire wife was down in Florida at the family's Florida estate after Pritzker had ordered all citizens of Illinois to stay at home? How did she manage to violate the stay-at-home order? And his answer with her security detail that she's afforded because she is the first lady of the state. And he answered, well, how dare you ask me that question? I don't appreciate you asking me that question. Families are off limits. That guy. Well, he's back. He seems really dense. I don't know how these people, I don't know if he fell bass backwards into money, if he lucked out or if he was born into it. I know his wife is very rich, so maybe he married into it, but he's not a looker. He looks like he's got a hairpiece. So if I'd have known that billionaires had such low standards, I might have tried to get a billionaire. But J.B. Pritzker, The Hill reports business owners in Illinois could face a Class A misdemeanor charge for opening their establishments in defiance of the state's stay-at-home order. Now, we're not talking back in May here. Back in March here. It is now May. It's the middle of May. States are reopening, but Illinois, not interested in it. Because Governor Pritzker, like so many of these Democrats, is in way over their head, and they're pot committed to this idea. They don't know what to do. And they know that anything they do can and will be held against them in the court of public opinion. And so they're terrified to lead. They're terrified to lead. So now he's making, if you open your business, you dare open your business, you could face a fine of up to $2,500 and up to a year in jail for daring to open your business. Governor Pritzker on Friday filed an emergency rule that would penalize owners of restaurants, bars, gyms, barbershops, and other businesses for reopening before the coronavirus restrictions are lifted. Don't you love that? They're clearing out as many drug dealers, gang members, tax cheats, whatever you got in a prison, doesn't matter. All of these people who've actually committed crimes, likely crimes where there are real human American victims. They're clearing out those things in the name of compassion. But if you dare open your gym before I give you my blessing, so help me God, I will throw your ass in jail so fast you won't know what hit you. This is Democrats. And Illinois, let's see, an emergency rule is a, quote, an additional enforcement tool for businesses that refuse to comply with the most critical aspects of the stay-at-home order, the spokesman for the governor told The Hill. Law enforcement has relied heavily on educating business owners about the order and always first discusses the regulations with business owners to urge compliance. There's no urging of compliance. There is a giant freaking hammer over their head going, do it or I'm going to beat you with this. Do it or we'll destroy you. There's no suggestion. There's no partnership between the government and businesses out there. Government says this is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. If you don't like it, you can always close up shop. But Governor Pritzker, you know, his wife can jet off to anywhere they want. I'm sure since they're a billionaire family, they probably own several jets. They can do whatever they want. But if somebody dares open up their hair salon, their barber shop, so help me God, the wrath of government shall come down on you like it's con. It is a con, just not that kind of con. Now we go over to Michigan, where I grew up, where Governor Gretchen Adolf Whitmer, Whitler as they call her up there, She is being sued, as many of these governors are being sued. It's amazing to me how long some of these restrictions have gone on. I'm not talking about, you know, let's get 1,500 people into a 20-person capacity, choke and puke, and go absolutely nuts and bring back kissing booths or anything like that. I'm talking about some common sense things like allowing what is defined as elective medical procedures. Now, what's one man's elective medical procedure is a life-saving procedure or a life-altering, life-improving procedure to someone else. But when you're a Democrat, you, and I say it often because it's true, you don't give a damn about the individual. The individual is disposable. It is bend the knee to the state. The state is all powerful and they will decide what you need and, more importantly, what you deserve. PJ Media has the story. The headline, lockdown lawsuit, doctors hit Gretchen Whitmer with lawsuit over medical time bomb. Now, it's doctors suing. It's not some right-wing lunatic carrying a gun around the streets of Michigan who hasn't shot anybody, by the way, but that seems to freak out politicians up in my old state. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is having a tough time with the American legal system, which does not take kindly to dictators, they report. Earlier this week, she appeared to be losing a very public fight with a 77-year-old named Carl Mankey, who continues to defy her orders to shut down his barber shop even after losing his license to operate without a hearing. Yes, Governor Adolf Whitler, or Whitmer, she pulled the license for a barber, 77 years old, because he said, I need to make a living. I'm going to open up and cut people's hair. It wasn't, you know, the social event of the season. It wasn't a cram-packed barbershop where everybody's sitting around having a gay old time. It was people getting their hair cut. She pulled his permit. She wanted to destroy him. Well, he continues to operate. And the local sheriff, the sheriff in the county where he is, says he's not going to stop him. So Whitmer, another humiliating defeat for her. She's just a terrible person. That this person would be considered on the short list for Joe Biden is a testament to how pathetic Joe Biden is. Judge also slapped down Whitmer when she tried to get a restraining order against Mankey, ruling instead to hear him out in court. She's not having a good week. Well, she's having a worse week now because she's being sued by a bunch of doctors who are pointing out the problems with her elective procedures ban. The lawsuit goes on to describe, and this is about the lawsuit, it's reported by the Washington Times. The lawsuit goes on to describe the very serious complications for patients that patients have experienced as a direct result of being denied their elective procedures, including a patient who needed a damaged feeding tube repaired. Now, I'm no medical doctor, but if you have a feeding tube and it's damaged, I would think it would be fairly important to your survival to have it repaired. It wouldn't be elective. It would be kind of imperative. But if it's elective, it's only elective because it is not yet imperative. And the longer you elect not to do it, the more likely it is to become imperative. But the governor of the state of Michigan has decided, well, that's like a nose job. That's like a tummy tuck. You don't need that. It's amazing. Damaged feeding tube. And another who needed gallbladder surgery and didn't get it, which led to gangrene. Gangrene. Not good. If left untreated, if left unremoved, you will die from gangrene. It leads to amputations all the time. Now, this person, I would assume that once the gallbladder went particularly bad, then suddenly it became a necessary surgery. But the point is, it never should have gotten to that point. If there were rational actors and politicians in the governor's offices of these states, it never would have gotten anywhere near this point. But there aren't rational actors and decent human beings in those positions. They're Democrats. So they can look and paint with a broad brush and say, you don't need this, you don't need that, without any concern. They don't even look at you. They don't do it on a case-by-case basis. They aren't sitting up there, even though they feel like they're Caesars, they aren't sitting up there like they are Caesars, learning about each individual case, giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down. They're simply saying, these are important, these aren't important. Go about your business. Well, life is a little bit more complicated than that. As they're slowly learning, and as these citizens of these states are slowly learning that they have failed in picking a good leader, because that's what these people are not, is leaders. Being a leader requires taking risks. Being a leader requires taking chances. Being a leader requires risking being wrong. And no politician wants to risk being wrong. But take heart, my friends, because as we've seen evidenced across the country over the past weekend, because the weather was wonderful, the beaches up and down the East and West Coast were packed, the Virginia beaches were packed, people socially distancing doing so respectfully, the boardwalk in Ocean City was open. Everybody was nervous. All the Karens of the world were lecturing everybody about how they're doing things wrong and so on and so forth. But when too many people do something, like one person protesting can be arrested pretty easily. Two people violating these orders can be rounded up quickly. Three, four, five people, not a problem. Hundreds and thousands of people going out independently, not protesting, not chanting, just going down on the beach, sitting on the sand. You get that many people, there ain't a damn thing anybody can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. That is the people deciding when these lockdowns end, not governments, not governors, not loser mid-level bureaucrats who have been anointed the power by feckless governors who are afraid to have their fingerprints on it. It's the people. Then you have this situation up in New Jersey that I'll leave you with. This guy was on Tucker's show last Thursday, I think. There's a gym called Attilus Gym in Belmar, Camden County, New Jersey. He announced to the world that he was going to open up his gym come yesterday. And he did it. It's in violation of the state's stay-at-home orders. He found a technicality that I think worked, even though the governor doesn't seem to have accepted it. Said that private businesses are not allowed to open. Well, it's not public shops are not allowed to open. His is a private club. You have to be a member to enter the gym. They're not taking any new memberships. They've gotten rid of a lot of their equipment, moved it around, so there's social distancing. But he did it more as a matter of principle than a matter of financial necessity. Well, they opened Monday morning, 8 a.m. There was a crowd gathered of supporters, a couple of dozen, maybe up towards 100, cheering them on. And sure enough, the police showed up. But this time, what happened? Well, police showed up at Attilus Gym. The exchange went well. They exchanged pleasantries. The officer told the gym they were violating the governor's orders, Governor Murphy's orders. And then he said, essentially, have a nice day, and left. They won. The governor blinked. I told you, if you sit around and you wait for politicians to declare it safe, it'll never be safe because they're not really concerned about human life being saved. They're worried about their political career being saved. And after this much incompetence, there's nothing that's going to make that safe. So you be safe. You be smart. You know what's right. You know what to do. Don't go around licking doorknobs and making out with strangers. But as soon as you can, meaning when your employer says, all right, we're open for business, and if you want to come in, come in, and you want to go in, go in and be smart. The American people will decide when these states reopen, many of these states. Sadly, far too many feckless Democrats have found too much power, too much national prestige, and a part of what the best strategy they could come up with in trying to destroy Donald Trump. And all they have to do is destroy their state's economy in the process. Well, the American people are saying, hell no. We're standing up to it. So good for them. No bailouts, no prolonged lockdowns. Be smart when you go back outside. But for the love of God, whatever you do, get outside. Enjoy some fresh air. Enjoy some sunlight. Get some vitamin D in you for free. You'll never be able to drink as much vitamin D from milk as you can get from like a half an hour out in the sun. And that'll help you out immeasurably. That is all the time we have for today. Time just flies, man. But I thought it was worth dedicating a show to the governors out there. Some of these people are absolutely horrible. Whereas others, Texas, Florida, Georgia, are doing leadership. Whether it goes well or whether it goes bad, they're actually leading. And that's important. That's what's missing everywhere. But don't you be missing this show tomorrow. We'll be back with another exciting episode. It'll be Wednesday already. Holy Frank Tanana. Time is flying. And we got a holiday weekend coming up. Very much looking forward to that. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
The next time they want to salute and celebrate our heroes, our first responders, our police officers and firefighters, consider the fact that they are the first ones who will be laid off.